Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about Pakistan. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that I've been covering a number of the developing and emerging nations of the world who are now having major difficulties as a result of the financial implications of this war. A lot of these countries were already in a precarious financial position, and the massive price increases that we've seen in energy and commodity costs has really tipped the balance and pushed a lot of these countries over the edge. And unfortunately, Pakistan looks like being the next country that's going to be tipped over the edge by this crisis. Pakistan is a net importer of oil and food substances, and inflation has started to take off in the country. And in order to try to combat this, the authorities have now introduced an emergency 250 basis point increase in interest rates in the country. Pakistan does not have a wealth of raw materials and runs a negative balance of trade. And we've seen a significant deterioration in the value of the currency over the last month or so. So in this video, I'll give you a full run through of all of the events that are going on. We'll talk briefly about Pakistan itself. We'll have a look at what's been happening with inflation and interest rates and the balance of trade. We'll talk about what's going on with the currency and the forex reserves, and then we'll have a look at the political situation, because there's a lot of turmoil in Pakistan right now, and it looks likely that there's going to be a change of government in the short term. And then finally today, I'll give you my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Pakistan over the next 3 to 6 months and what impact that will have on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Pakistan is located in South Asia and was created in 1947 following the breakup of the British Empire. The country has borders with Iran, Afghanistan, China, and India, and has a coastline on the Arabian Sea. Pakistan is the 33rd largest country in the world by landmass, but the 5th largest by population. And the population of around 225 million people has been growing rapidly over the last 20 years. Pakistan does have some natural resources, including oil and other natural minerals. However, it doesn't have enough to be able to feed its own demand and is a net importer of oil. The country is classified as developing and is a low labour cost economy, with the main industry being textiles. The land in Pakistan is rich and fertile, and 37% of all of the population are employed in agriculture. And agriculture equates to around about 20% of GDP. Pakistan exports a variety of food substances, including sugarcane, cotton, and rice, but imports wheat, vegetable oil, and consumer foods. Pakistan is a net importer of oil, and the price of oil has a massive impact on the inflation rate in the country. Inflation has been running at a high level in Pakistan over the last 12 months. But if we look at this chart, you can see that during 2021, there was a reduction in the amount of inflation, and that moved broadly with the reduction in the price of oil that we were seeing at that time. However, since the autumn, when oil prices started to take off, we've seen another jump in the levels of inflation. And the figures for March show that inflation is now running at 12.7% for the last 12 months. And this high level of inflation is driven predominantly by food and energy prices. And as you'll know, if you follow the channel, they have been the main areas impacted by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We have seen a huge jump in the price of oil and gas, and also in a lot of the food commodity prices such as wheat and vegetable oil. And if we look into the details of what's driving the increase in inflation, you can see that there was a 15.3% increase in food prices during March. So that tells us that the momentum in food prices is running ahead of the annualized figure of 12.7, and indicates that inflation is likely to increase going forward. And the price of perishable food, which relates predominantly to fresh fruit and vegetables, increased at more than 30% in the month. And that's really concerning for two reasons. Firstly, it's obviously an extremely high rate of increase. And secondly, fresh fruit and vegetables are important to the health of the nation. If people can't afford to buy those items, then that means they won't be having any fresh fruit and vegetables. And long term, that's going to cause problems with the people of Pakistan. And just to accentuate this point further, core inflation in the month was 8.9% in the cities and 10.3% in rural areas. So those levels are below the annualized rate of 12.7. So it shows that food and energy goods are the items that are driving up inflation. And of course, they're the items that are being impacted directly by the Ukraine crisis. And one of the reasons this is a main area of concern is that there are high levels of poverty in Pakistan. More than 20% of the population are living below the poverty line. And that means that they can barely afford to buy basic food. And when you look at what's happening with prices, food is being most heavily impacted. And to give you a couple of examples, the price of ghee and cooking oil, which is used by everybody in Pakistan, is up almost 50% compared to this time last year. And the price of a tomato, which is used as the basic ingredient in a lot of cooking sauces in Pakistan, is up almost 150% to this time last year. So this really puts everything into perspective, because the people who cannot afford any price increases whatsoever are being hit hardest by what's happening to food prices. And this is all as a direct result of what's going on in Ukraine right now. Pakistan's central bank has announced an emergency increase in interest rates of 250 basis points, which takes the interest rate to 12.25%. The regular meeting to discuss interest rates was scheduled for the end of April, but the bank decided that it needed to introduce this rate change immediately in order to try to stem the increase in inflation and the rise in prices, which is also impacting on the value of the currency. Now, this chart shows the movement in interest rates over the last 5 years in Pakistan. And if we just have a look at the same chart that plots the rate of inflation, you can see that it's broadly been moving in line with inflation. So Pakistan is following a traditional method of increasing interest rates at a time of high inflation and then reducing interest rates when inflation is falling. And of course, the fall in inflation that you can see here was predominantly driven by COVID. So this was all during the lockdown periods when everything came to a grinding halt all across the world. And we saw prices starting to fall as demand fell. And then as we've come out of lockdown, you can see that inflation has started to move back up as demand has risen and prices have started to increase also. So moving back to the interest rate chart, we can see that interest rates have been held at relatively high levels in Pakistan. Even during the pandemic, the interest rate was held at 7%, which is considerably higher than the rest of the world. If you compare that to what was happening in the US and the UK, where we had rates that were less than 0.5%. And if we look at what's been happening to the interest rate over the last few months, you can see that in December, the rate was increased to 9.75% and sat at that level for the first quarter of 2022. And now we've seen this large increase to 12.25%. And this recent hike in interest rates has been introduced to try to reduce inflation, but also to try to stabilize the value of the rupee. Pakistan is a net importer of oil and runs a negative balance of trade and has a negative current account. So that means that the level of imports are much higher than the level of exports. This chart shows the balance of trade over the last 5 years. And you can see that Pakistan has been running in deficit consistently for the last 5 years. And if we look at the current account, you can see that Pakistan is currently running around $6 billion in deficit. So this position is obviously entirely unsustainable. You can't keep running at a massive loss. And Pakistan has been in discussions with the IMF about a bailout in terms of receiving a much needed injection of capital. The currency of Pakistan is the Pakistan rupee. And we have seen a continued deterioration in the value of the rupee over the last 12 months against the US dollar. The currency is a managed free float, which means that the Central Bank of Pakistan supports the rupee in the international markets by buying at times when the currency is under pressure to try to maintain the value. But over the last 12 months or so, the Central Bank has been unable to support the levels, and that's why we've seen consistent deterioration in the value. Along with a lot of other developing nations, Pakistan is a net importer of oil and therefore needs to have foreign currency to be able to purchase large amounts. In 2021, Pakistan purchased around $19 billion worth of oil. And to do that, it needs US dollars. And unfortunately, it doesn't produce enough US dollars from its exports. So that puts pressure on the foreign currency reserves. The value of the rupee has fallen more than 10% since the start of the Ukraine crisis, and foreign currency reserves on the 1st of April are now down to 11.3 billion, which is a drop of 5.1 billion compared to the reserves of 16.2 billion on the 4th of March. Now, these are obviously very concerning figures, and the rate of reduction in the foreign currency levels means that Pakistan is now getting close to the point where it will not be able to afford to pay for all of the fuel that it needs, and then it's likely to follow a similar path to what we've talked about recently that happened in Sri Lanka, where tankers were being turned away because there was no cash to be able to pay for the fuel, and then that caused a lot of social unrest in the country, and now we've got a lot of political turmoil. So the situation in Pakistan is now getting to that critical point. Pakistan has been borrowing heavily to support the growth of its economy. At the end of January 2022, the outstanding amount of debt was 42.4 trillion Pakistani rupees, which at the current exchange rates equates to around about 225 billion US dollars. The level of domestic debt equates to around 145 billion, and the international debts are around $80 billion. And these debts are one of the problems that Pakistan has, because obviously with any debt, you have to service that debt. And when you're servicing international debt, you need foreign currency to be able to do that. Now, this table shows the breakdown of where all of that international debt has been sourced from. The World Bank is an organisation that's been set up by a variety of different countries around the world to support developing nations, and they've provided 21% of the Pakistan international debt. The Asian Development Bank is a similar sort of organisation, provided 16%. The International Monetary Fund has provided 8%. Non-Paris Club, 17%, and the Paris Club, 13%. These are all organisations that have been set up to support developing and emerging nations. So essentially, this is like charitable debt. It's helping countries that can't really afford to repay this debt to be able to put infrastructure in place and be able to purchase essentials such as oil. But all of this debt is genuine debt, and it does have servicing costs. In addition to these charitable debts, Pakistan has also raised 13% of all of its debt from banks and 9% via the bond market. And it's estimated that the debt servicing cost that Pakistan is now facing is over $12 billion per year. So when you add that to the $19 billion of oil purchasing, you've got a foreign currency requirement of over $30 billion per year. And that is obviously significantly more than the $11 billion of foreign currency reserves that Pakistan has right now. So you can see the size of the problem and why this is an emergency situation. Pakistan needs some cash immediately in order to be able to pay for the oil and also to service its debt. The political situation in Pakistan is very unstable. Imran Khan is one of the greatest cricketers who ever represented Pakistan, and he took over as Prime Minister of the country in 2018. Khan opposed the US-led intervention in Afghanistan and has developed relations with Russia since he became Prime Minister in 2018. He recently faced a no confidence vote, but before that vote could take place, he decided to dissolve Parliament. The Supreme Court has now ruled that this manoeuvre was unconstitutional and ordered that the Parliament be reconvened and the no confidence motion should go ahead as planned. If President Khan loses the no confidence vote, the opposition could then nominate its Prime Minister to govern until August 2023, when a new election is due. Shehbaz Sharif, the younger brother of three-time Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, said after the court ruling that the opposition had nominated him to take over should President Khan be ousted. So a change of government now looks likely in Pakistan, and this is concerning for everybody because in the past, the military has stepped in on three separate occasions to remove civilian governments. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because if you've been following the channel, you'll know that I've been identifying a number of different countries from all around the globe who are now having real problems as a result of what's going on in Ukraine. The impact of the Ukraine crisis has been to drive up the price of oil and gas and other commodities and food substances. And all of those prices are now starting to have a damaging impact on economies that were already fragile. So in this video, I'm not trying to say that the problems in Pakistan are purely as a result of what's happening in Ukraine, but the acceleration of the problems is definitely as a result of it. And the increase in the oil price and basic food substances such as wheat and vegetable oil have had a direct and rapid impact on that economy. The price of oil and food affects everybody. And as we've come out of the pandemic, we've seen a general rise in those prices. But the spike in prices that's come as a result of this war is now tipping some of these economies over the edge. So they may well have gone down at some point anyway, but what's happening is we've got a really rapid domino effect that's hitting all of these economies simultaneously. And when you get a simultaneous fall in a number of different economies, it then all adds up to a global recession. So individually, the world could cope with Pakistan having problems, or Sri Lanka having problems, or Egypt having problems, or Peru, or a number of other countries that I could go on naming. But the cumulative impact of all of this is going to be really damaging for everybody. So Pakistan is now sitting on the edge of a collapse. We've got a country that is running out of foreign currency rapidly. It's got high rates of inflation. It's going to struggle to be able to pay its fuel bills over the next 3 to 6 months. And it's likely that we will see a situation in Pakistan that we saw in Sri Lanka recently, where tankers will turn up full of oil and then they will be leaving those ports also full of oil because there's been no cash to be able to pay for it. And therefore, the pumps will run dry in Pakistan, and that's when you get real civil unrest. When people can no longer fill their vehicles, they can't go to work, they can't make their deliveries, they can't move the agriculture and all of the basic requirements, then that's when you get a breakdown in society. And it's likely that we're going to see a change of government in the very short term. That looked like it was coming anyway, but that's not going to help because it could then lead to a position where we see the military stepping in and then we've got a complete breakdown of the whole economy. And as you'll know, if you follow the channel, because I've said this on multiple times in the past, the whole of the global economy is now interrelated. So if we see a recession in Pakistan, that will have a knock-on impact to a number of other countries who trade with Pakistan, and those countries will have a knock-on impact to the countries that they trade with. And before you know it, it's spread all across the globe. And that's essentially what we're seeing here. We are witnessing a military conflict in Ukraine having a devastating impact on countries all across the globe who've never even heard of Ukraine. So to give you a summary on this video, I think things are going to get much worse very quickly in Pakistan. I think we will see that economy moving towards collapse over the next 6 to 9 months, and it's likely that we will see a similar thing happening in numerous other countries all across the world, and it will impact on all of the developed nations. There is no question about that. 2022 is looking like a bad year for everybody. The price of oil is continuing to stay high. The price of food and essential commodities are at record levels, and it's just impossible for the world economy to be able to sustain that. We've got extremely high levels of debt and inflation all across the world, so we didn't have any headroom at all to be able to cope with any more shocks. And unfortunately, the Ukraine crisis is one of the biggest shocks that we've seen over the last few years, and it's definitely going to have a damaging impact on all economies around the world. So hopefully you've found this video useful, informative, and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, maybe not the actual detail of the content because it's a bit depressing, but actually in terms of the structure and the information and the data that I'm sharing with you, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, it's the special bonus bit at the end of the video. Again, only for the hardcore, only for people who can stay all the way to the end of these videos. Just wanted to give you a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. As you'll know by now, we've smashed through the 1,000 subscriber level. So brilliant. That is fantastic news. Thank you to every single person who subscribed to the channel. But we still need to get that watch time up. We're still short of those 4,000 hours. We are now significantly over 1,000 hours, which is great, but we need to keep watching. And I know I'm not posting a lot of new videos on there. You've seen most of that content already. But if you do have a spare 5 or 10 minutes, please jump onto the channel and watch one or two of the videos. Or if you can, press play on the playlist and that will run through all of the videos on the channel and clock up some more minutes for us with a view to getting to that 4,000 hour goal. And once we do that, then we can start this experiment for real and see if we can find some YouTube stars of the future, including you, hopefully. So thanks again for your support and for watching all the way to the end of this video.